my younger brother, Hezekiah, I guess I should explain why his name is Hezekiah. I'll explain that really quickly. My dad, he's from Nigeria, and his name is Ezra, spelled E-Z-E-A. It's not something we typically see here. You know, some people see his name, and they pronounce it Ezia, Ezia. It's Ezra. And so my parents named my younger brother Ezra, and his middle name is Kaya. So there's a sort of a play on words there. It's like Hezekiah, but his name is Hezekiah. And he wants to learn how to swim. So my parents kind of put that on me. They're like, Reuben, why don't you teach your younger brother how to swim? And they kind of had to put that on me because I am the only one in my family that really knows how to swim. So they can't teach him. I'm really the only one who could teach him. And I suppose that he wants to learn how to swim because, you know, being able to move through water it's important, right? You know, water can be dangerous. You know, some people are afraid of water because it can be dangerous, right? Just with anything. Some people are afraid of flying because flying, as unlikely as it is, can be dangerous, right? Accidents happen. Even though it's unlikely, they do happen. So some people are afraid of flying. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of snakes, right? Snakes can be hazardous to health, just depending on if they're venomous or not. Some people are afraid of insects, fire. And so some people are also afraid of water because water can be dangerous. It's sad to say, but people can drown and die in water. Well, this is what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. If you would, open up your Bible, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start reading from verse 25. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 25. In this context, we see a miracle of Jesus. And I think it's one of the more underrated miracles. We kind of read this passage and we're like, that's okay. Not too bad, right? But I really like this. I like this miracle of Jesus. It's one of my favorites. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 25. It says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out in fear." Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I saw anybody walking on the sea, I'd probably do the same thing, right? You know, we're 2,000 years into the future. Right? We have a bunch of technological advancements in comparison to them. But still, if I saw someone walking on the sea, that'd freak me out just a little bit. And that's what happened here. In verse 27, it says, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'You are certainly God's son.'" So in this story, you see the disciples of Jesus, they're in a boat, and Jesus is walking them on the water. They're a little afraid, but Jesus says, "It's me." So Peter says, "Well, if it's really you, command me to come out and walk to you on the water." And Jesus says, "All right, come on." And Peter, you know what he did? He took that step out of that boat. I tell you what, I don't know if I would have done that. Right? Just a leap of faith into the water. I can swim in everything, but I don't know if I would have done that. Peter went ahead and took the step out of that boat. And he walked for a little while. But that's when he looked around and the environment got him, right? He looked around, he saw the wind, and the wind scared him a little bit, and the wind was probably moving the water. And he stopped focusing on Jesus. He got distracted. You see, Peter started sinking. He started drowning. You see, Peter, he was drowning with Jesus. He was drowning with Jesus. Now, whenever I say Peter was drowning with Jesus, I don't mean that both him and Jesus were drowning. What I mean is Peter was drowning, and Jesus was right there. Guys, if you could go ahead and push over to the next slide for me. Thank you. Peter was drowning, but Jesus was right there. Could have helped him. Did help him, right? But Peter was drowning. In a way, this can happen to us, right? We, in our lives, we could end up drowning with Jesus. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about physical drowning literally. I'm talking in a metaphorical sense, right? We could end up leaving the Lord, losing our faith. If I was preaching this sermon a couple of weeks ago, I would say we could stop running, right? Talked a lot about running here in the past couple of weeks. That's what I mean whenever I say drowning with Jesus. We stop running. We give up, fall away. And the thing is, Jesus is ready to help, right? Jesus is ready to help. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 tells us that Jesus, that the Lord, he's not slow concerning his promise, right? But he wants all to come to repentance, right? He doesn't wish anyone to perish. Jesus is there, and he wants to help. But sometimes we find ourselves drowning. So this is what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about ways that we can keep from or ways that we can avoid drowning with Jesus and some things that we need to understand if we're going to avoid drowning with Jesus. So let's go ahead and jump into the... Actually, before we jump into the lesson, I do have some news. I think most of you guys know. The last week was my birthday, right? And that's not the news. But last week was my birthday. And I got the best birthday gift I could have gotten, right? I proposed to Ruth, and she said yes. So I'm engaged. We're engaged to be married. Ruth's my fiance. I can say that now, and that's a good thing. I don't think anyone's listening anymore. Is anyone listening to me anymore? I don't think anyone's listening. We just ended here. I think someone said amen to that. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into the lesson. We're in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start reading from verse 28. Some things that we need to understand if we're going to avoid drowning. Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come onto the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. You see, if we're going to avoid drowning with Jesus, what we need to understand is that we need to follow Jesus. We need to follow the Lord's commands. That's what Peter did. When Jesus said, "All right, come on," what did Peter do? That's what he did. He did what Jesus asked him to do. There's an important lesson for us in that. We also need to follow the Lord's commands. A couple years ago, I was on Facebook, and I was sort of just browsing because, you know, who doesn't do that? Browsing on Facebook, and I came across one of my old friend's posts, and she had been going through a hard time, had recently gone through a divorce at that time, and her Facebook post said something along the lines of, I wish Jesus would just sit next to me and tell me what he wants me to do. I'm going to say that again. She said, "I wish Jesus would sit next to me and tell me what he wants me to do." Now, that post kind of frustrated me. You know, I was sort of looking at my computer screen like, what? And the sad thing is, that's how many people think. Many people in the world just believe that we can't know what God wants from us. And that's just not true. God has left us his word. We know God's standard for us in our lives because it's written in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God. See, we don't have to sit and wonder, man, I wonder what God would tell me if he were here. We know. The real question is, do we listen? See, if we want to make sure that we don't drown, we need to make sure to follow Jesus. And it's not always easy, right? It's not always easy to do that. For instance, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to start reading from verse 20. Second Timothy chapter 2, in verse 20, Paul says, now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now, flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We're told here that God wants us to pursue righteousness. Now, this means that I'm going to have to make some sacrifices in my life. You know, I went to see the Avengers movie with a couple of my friends, and after the movie, me and one of my preacher friends were talking, and he really likes Deadpool, you know, the comic character, the Deadpool. And I like Deadpool, too, but we got on to the discussion of the movie Deadpool, and we were just talking about how we couldn't go see that movie. And that movie is full of just a bunch of trash, and Christians shouldn't be putting those things in their mind. And that may be hard, because him and I, well, we both like that show, or we both like the comic, the sort of hero, Deadpool. It's something that we want to see. But if we're going to follow God, then we can't. We might not be able to see the movie, right? We might not be able to date that person. Because what does 1 Corinthians say in chapter 15? Don't be deceived, but evil company corrupts good morals, right? Might not be able to take that new job that I want because it takes me away from the Lord and from my family. I'm not going to be able to attend worship service. I might not be able to take that new job. But what does Jesus say in Matthew 6? Let's go there. Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, he talks about treasures in a sense. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For, in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, Jesus tells us there are more important things than treasures. If we're going to follow Jesus, I might not be able to take that new job. You see, it's not always going to be easy to follow the Lord's commands, but we need to, right? Because God knows what's best for us. You know, this morning, Brent talked about listening to wiser people, listening to other people, and that can be hard sometimes, right? Because we don't always like to admit that we're wrong. I know I don't like to admit that I'm wrong when I'm wrong. But we need to listen to wiser people. God is wiser than all of us, and he knows what's best for us. You know, there's a reason why God wants us to pursue righteousness. It's because he knows what's best for us. There's a reason why God wants us to avoid evil company. It's because he knows what's best for us. There's a reason why God wants us to lay up treasures in heaven. It's because he knows what's best for us. See, if I'm going to keep from drowning with Jesus, then I need to understand that I need to follow Jesus. But that's not all. Let's go back to the book of Matthew chapter 14, please. Matthew 14. I'm going to start reading from verse 28 again. Matthew 14, starting at verse 28. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. You see, Peter at first, he was doing good. He was taking those steps towards Jesus. But then what happened? Well, he saw the wind. Maybe the wind was stirring up the water a little bit. And he got distracted. See, there's a lesson for us. If we're going to avoid drowning with Jesus, then we need to make sure that we avoid the distractions. Peter saw the wind, and he lost focus on Jesus. You know, the same thing can be true of us. We need to avoid the distractions, because the fact of the matter is they're out there, right? the world there, and in the world, there are many things that can distract us from what's truly important. In the world, there are many things that can distract us from the work of the kingdom. For instance, politics, right? I mean, politics has the power to just divide people. I mean, people have such strong political views. Just walk into walk into just a crowded place, a bank or something, and just say, you know, I like Donald Trump or I like Hillary Clinton. At the very least, someone's glaring at you at that point, right? Because politics has the power to just divide, right? And that's not only true in the world. That's true in the church too. And I've seen it happen. I've seen brothers and sisters in Christ hold grudges against one another because of ridiculous things like gun control. Maybe they just disagree on gun control. And brothers and sisters in Christ hold grudges against one another. If we're there, Satan is winning. Satan is winning. Can I just say, it doesn't matter who holds the White House. It doesn't matter who has the majority in the Senate or the House of Representatives or who holds more seats on the Supreme Court. Jesus is king. That's all that matters. You know, if we find ourselves so focused on political things and not focused on saving souls, on the work of the kingdom, then Satan is winning. Now, the world distracts us with many things. Politics is one of them. Another is money. You know, I think of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was doing good. He asked Jesus, what do I need to do? Jesus says, keep the commandments. And he says, I've done it. I've kept the commandments. But Jesus knew something about the rich young ruler. He knew there was something that he was still missing. So Jesus tells the rich young ruler, well, sell everything you have and come and follow me. And give to the poor and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler couldn't do it. So he goes away. And he goes away saddened. We need to make sure that's not us. Now, the rich young ruler says, I'll follow Jesus until it affects my money. We need to make sure that's not us, right? We can't have the attitude, well, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus as long as it doesn't cost me my car. Or I'm going to follow Jesus as long as it doesn't cost me my house or my savings account. We can't have that attitude. You know, here on earth, money is pretty important. Money can get you into places that you otherwise wouldn't be able to get into, right? Restricted places. Money can get us out of the trouble that otherwise we wouldn't be able to get out of, right? Have enough money, get the right lawyer, you can avoid some jail time. Money will not help us get to heaven. See, money is a distraction. Money can distract us from what is truly important. Let me give you another distraction. People, right? People can distract us. Brent this morning talked about Proverbs chapter 5. And in Proverbs chapter 5, there's a father who's giving advice to a son. And the father says, I want you to stay away from this type of person. You see, that father gets it. That father understands that people can distract us from what's truly important and drag us down. Brent this morning talked about how, you know, sometimes we have this attitude where we say, oh, you know what, I'm going to influence them. It's not going to affect me. Instead, I'm going to influence them. Can I just say, when we have that attitude, we are deceiving ourselves. You know, I like 1 Corinthians 15:33, and I like to say that, you know, we get the evil company corrupts good morals part, but sometimes we forget the do not be deceived part, because we deceive ourselves into thinking our friends don't affect us, and that's just not true. Our friends do affect us. You know, I can count 6 friends who I've grown up with in the church. 6 friends who I've grown up with who've fallen away. And every single one of them were dragged down because of the people that they hung out with. You see, other people can distract us. But fourthly, and I guess the final distraction I want to mention is the storms can distract us, right? You know, what I mean by that is the bad times can distract us. You know, Peter, he was distracted by the wind. Well, we have storms in our lives, right? You know, as a young person, we don't really know that, right? As young people, because we don't go through that many bad things. But you start seeing those things as you get older. And the fact of the matter is, the storms will come. You know, I think of the Strodes. They're going through the storm right now. think of Dean and Alicia going through the storm, right? And just a couple of months ago with the accident, they were going through the storm. Bad things happen, and those things can be a distraction if we let them. We need to make sure that we focus on the Lord during those times. You know, after the motorcycle accident with Dean, one thing that I noticed was he sure was back here quickly. He was. He was back here worshiping with his family very quickly. I think Dean gets it. You know, we may have the storms in our lives, but those things can't distract us from what's truly important. You see, we need to avoid the distractions if we're going to make sure that we aren't or that we don't drown. But how do we do that? How do we avoid those distractions? I think the answer lies in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I think that's the idea. If we're going to avoid the distractions, we need to focus on what's good, right? Focus on what's right. For instance, fellowship, right? I need to be with godly people doing godly things. That's going to help me avoid the distractions. That's going to help me focus. You know, we've got a singing coming up here in August. We all need to be there, right? We've got plenty of time to plan our lives around that. We all need to be there. We've got a teen weekend coming up. Our kids need to be there. We've got VBS coming up. Kids need to be there. Why? Because those things, spending time learning about God, encouraging one another as family in Christ, those are the things that's truly important. If I want to avoid the distractions, I need to focus on things like that. That's not all. I need to spend time in Bible study, right? We forget that sometimes. But I need to spend time studying about what the Lord wants for me in my life and studying about God and who he is. If I'm going to avoid distractions, I need to spend time studying the Word. But also in prayer. I need to spend time in prayer. If I'm going to avoid the distractions, let's make a challenge. How about this? Next month, it's coming up here pretty quick. Can we all challenge ourselves every day, study God's word, every day to spend time alone with God? It's called TAG, by the way. I didn't come up with that. Another preacher, TAG, time alone with God. All right, spend time alone with God in prayer. And being with God's people as much as we can. Can we challenge ourselves to do that next month? I think we can. I think we can do that. See, if we're going to stay away from drowning, if we're going to avoid drowning, I need to make sure to avoid distractions. But that's not all. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start reading from verse 30. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 30. But Peter, seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When Peter started drowning and he cried for help from the Lord, what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus saved him. Right? And that's what we need to understand if we're going to avoid drowning with Jesus. We need to understand that Jesus saves. You know, it's interesting that Peter's story is just similar to all of our stories, right? To the story of mankind in general, right? We start off well, and then we fall, we mess up, and then we ask the Lord for help. And what does he do? He saves, right? That was true of Adam and Eve. They started off well. They fell. The Lord started a plan, made a plan for salvation. That was true of the Israelites. It happened over and over and over and over again. Right? And it happens with us over and over and over again. We mess up, but Jesus saves. You know, this is important because there's a lot of people who don't believe this. Turn over to your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. I'll tell you a story. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start reading from verse 9. There was a preacher who was consoling a grieving man. And this man was grieving because he just believed that he could not be saved. You know, he believed that he had just messed up to the point where Jesus wasn't going to save him. And the grieving man pointed to this passage, Matthew chapter 6, starting at 9, because this was a passage that his parents had read him for a long time. And it was just a misunderstanding of this passage. But he tells the preacher, he says, listen to this passage, preacher. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And he looks at the preacher and he says, you know, I've done some of those things. See, I don't have a part in the kingdom of God because I've done some of those things. Jesus won't save me. He thought he couldn't be forgiven. And the preacher kind of just smiles, right? He just smiles and he says, well, let's read that again. So let's read it one more time. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But the preacher says, let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Verse 11, such were some of you. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You see here, some of the Corinthians had done some of those things in that list. But what happened? Well, they were saved by the blood of Jesus, right? Paul says, such were some of you. And that man who was grieving, he stopped grieving because he understood. He understood that Jesus saves, and not only that, Jesus wants to save. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. This will be the last passage we turn to. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Actually, let's start in verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul writes, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, Jesus not only saves, but he wants us to be saved, right? So the person who says, you know, Jesus will never save me, that's not true. Jesus does save. But, you know, there's sort of an opposite end of that spectrum. There are some people who think that Jesus would never save them, and then there are other people who think that it doesn't matter because everyone's going to be saved, right? There are people who think it doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter if you follow Islam. Doesn't matter if you follow Judaism. As long as you believe in something, you'll be okay. Well, that's not true. That's not what Scripture says, right? That's Jesus says in John that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. We're only saved through Jesus. See, if we're going to avoid drowning, we're going to avoid drowning with Jesus, then we need to understand that Jesus saves. You know, Peter's story is a great story. I preached this sermon a really long time ago. I think this was the first sermon I ever preached at Dowland Road, and I was looking for my outline, and I couldn't find it. So I rewrote it. I don't even know if this is the same way that I preached it back. I think I was 16 or something. But I always like this story because it teaches us important lessons. It teaches us that if we're going to walk with God, if we're going to walk with Jesus instead of drowning with Jesus, then I need to make sure to follow him, follow his commands. I need to make sure to avoid the distractions. I need to understand that Jesus saves. Maybe there's someone here tonight who is drowning and has been drowning for a while and wants to come back to the Lord. You could do that tonight. If you want to come back to the Lord and start walking with Jesus instead of drowning with Jesus, and you can do that tonight. Or maybe there's someone who wants to be bold like Peter and take that first step out of the boat and start walking with Jesus. If that sounds like you, if you want to become a child of God tonight, you can do that also. Whatever you need, you can come as we stand and as we sing.